Let's talk a little college football with ESPN college football analyst and writer Heather Dinich is here. And Heather, welcome to the show. I know we had you on last year at the beginning of the season. And earlier this week on my show here in Orlando, I asked the question rather sarcastically whether the Florida Gators are going to have enough players in Dallas this weekend to actually play a game. Now I'm not so sure. We've got 10 total players suspended after the two suspensions from yesterday, including their running back, Scarlett. What do you make, Heather, of what is going on with the Florida Gators in Gainesville right now?
10 suspended, and half of them have been in trouble before.
Yeah.
You know, I get what Jim McElwain said, and he's not running away or trying to hide anything. I heard his comments about that, but I don't understand why Florida is getting so much love nationally right now. I don't get it, because you've got off-field issues going on. He named a quarterback, congratulations, but here's the thing. Florida has so much to prove offensively. We are talking about last year, and this says a lot about the SEC East. Last year, Florida's offense, in scoring offense nationally, was like 109th or something, yeah. And in total yards, worst in the SEC, the East. Yeah. What does that say about the rest of the division? So now you have these off-field issues coupled with the fact that, look, you've got a rookie quarterback who still has something to prove. And to me, it's just like the best thing they have going for them right now is the fact that Michigan's five starters is the fewest in the FBS.
Yeah, we'll talk about that rookie quarterback coming up. But I'm asking the question on the show today. Do the 10 suspensions mean that Jim McElwain, going into year three, has control of the Gator program? Or is the program in chaos? I don't know what the answer to that question is, Heather, but it's sure not a good look when you have double-digit suspensions going into week one.
No, and that's an excellent question. It really is. I don't know the answer to it either, but it's not a good look, but at least he is doing something about it. He's being very forthright about it, saying, hey, NCAA, you want to come look? Come take a look. Our door is open. So I do like that aspect of it, but what kind of a message does it send about the leadership that's on that program right now? If you're going to take it to the next level and go beyond the SEC East title and beat Alabama and win the whole darn thing, you cannot have this going on.
No, any way you look at it, it's a bad look for the Florida Gators. Heather Dinich of ESPN talking a little college football here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. Felipe Franks will start against Michigan Saturday afternoon, redshirt freshman. I guess here's another question that none of us can answer, but maybe Jim McElwain is this about Franks dominating and taking the job in the preseason, or is this about former Notre Dame quarterback Malik Zaire not being good enough to take a strangled hold of that starting quarterback spot? What do you think, Heather?
I think it's fair to say a combination of both. I mean, Franks won the starting job in the spring, right? McElwain reopened up the competition after that. But look, when Zaire announced that he was transferring to Florida, Twitter blew up like, Florida has a quarterback. I'm like, wait a minute, Notre Dame didn't have a quarterback. Hold on just a second, you know? And it's like, to me, it's not very surprising that Zaire didn't necessarily win the job. Maybe bringing him in was a psychological challenge to the quarterbacks who are already on the roster, including Luke Del Rio. So, you know, I think that Franks has something to prove. That's not to say that we won't see Zaire in special packages or other situations, but I think it's clear that he won the starting job. He did it in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think we will see both quarterbacks, but I think we'll see predominantly Felipe Franks Saturday afternoon in Dallas. What about the other big game? We got a number of big games, but the other big game we here in Florida keeping our eye on this weekend is FSU and Alabama. I guess the only question you can ask at this particular point as we head toward kickoff is, will the game actually meet the hype, right? Will the competitiveness of the game meet the hype in week one? What do you think?
I hope so. I'm going to cry if it doesn't.
Me too.
Really, we've got number one versus number three, unprecedented, blah, 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 best matchup ever. Let's play and let's see this be a really good instant classic, because if it's not, I think a lot of people are going to be let down, because this is it. This is week one, right? And this is a game everybody's been looking forward to. But I think the other thing is that this one in particular is so unique to the playoff picture this year because it can spin off in so many different directions. Are we going to see a two-loss conference champion get in the playoffs for the first time? If we do, I think it stems from this game. Are we going to see a rematch in Atlanta of a regular season game for the first time? If we do, it's because of this game, you know? So I think there are a bunch of different ways that it can go, but obviously, certainly, don't write off the loser.
Heather Dinich, ESPN, here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. I said earlier this week, I'm not exactly an educated guesser when I'm saying this, but I'll go USC, FSU, Ohio State, Alabama in my Final Four coming up later on this year. I know you have a Final Four as well. I'm not telling you anything you don't know about that Final Four, but may it differ from mine here, Heather?
Nope, you copied off my paper.
Is that right? That's funny.
I mean, look, it's so boring, guys.
Yeah.
Who else do you pick right now based on what we know? It's just it's hard to throw in a Stanford right now, in my opinion. The Big 12 still has a lot to prove. If you ask me this question after next week and Oklahoma goes into Columbus and beats Ohio State, yeah, let's talk about the Sooners then. But I just think right now, based on what we know, I don't disagree with those top
players. Yeah, I mean, it's all about the powers that be. I mean, there's a lot of talk here in Florida about those guys about 75 miles to the west of us, and that is USF, the Bulls. A lot of people expecting USF to go undefeated with a horrendous schedule that they have this year. What's your pick? Can USF kind of crack that New Year's Day six bowl type of thing?
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the schedule. That's a big part of it. And I feel like they're in such a good spot with Charlie Strong and Quentin Flowers. They've got pieces of the puzzle that you need to make that kind of a run. I think they're in great shape. And it's just amazing to me, all of the new coaching personalities and faces that are there in your state. They just make for such an intriguing storyline. Mm,
indeed. Indeed, they do. Okay, one more question. We'll let you go, Heather Dinich. I'm going to ask you to get into that crystal ball yet again. Give us one surprise team. I asked you at this time last year, and you gave me Notre Dame. Now I'm a big Notre Dame fan. I got to tell you, I was very disappointed in you last year. Okay, after my Irish went 4-8. So if there is a surprise team on your radar right now for this college football season, give it to us, Heather.
Well, I'm not going to say Notre Dame again. Okay,
please
lesson
don't.
Learned.
Yeah.
Fool me once.
All right.
So I'm going to go. I'll either go Stanford, because I think that they've got a really good shot to surprise some people. But here's a real dark horse long shot for you. I'm going to go with NC State.
Mm.
And, yeah, if you look back at NC State last year, they lost in overtime at Clemson. I want to say 4 points they lost to Florida State. If they can get over that hump and play in the ACC championship game, I mean – I don't know how the selection committee leaves them out. Their defensive line is so good. But if they can beat those two teams, they're in.
Yeah, right. Well,
easier said than done,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely. Now, if NC State goes 4-8 this year, we will officially claim it the curse of Heather Dinich. Heather, it is wonderful to talk to you. Thanks so much for the knowledge, and hope to talk to you soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.